Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show. We are your preferred agriculture, PR, and communications network. To learn more about how we can help your brand in terms of awareness and management, please explore our website by visiting us at letstalkagriculture.com or send an email to hello@letstalkagriculture.com. In this episode of the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show, we will be discussing IoT in agriculture. One of our priorities as a company is providing relevant information that will be beneficial to stakeholders in this space and beyond. And as technologies come into the picture, we want to make that to make work easy for us. We want to make sure that farmers get a grasp of this technology and their benefits. So let's welcome our guest for today's show, Rishia Pankaj, a senior executive in agritech development at Kisan Sancha. Hello, Rishia. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
Hey, Sharon. I am doing really well. Thank you so much. And I'm actually honored to be a part of this platform who's doing so well. So thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for joining. I mean, we need to have experts like you on the show just to make, you know, make it pop, give it just to give this show a good thing. So thank you so much for really joining me today. I'm glad we connected on LinkedIn. Yay. I am really glad we connected on LinkedIn. So there was a post you made on your LinkedIn that actually got us connected. So you see, LinkedIn is really doing amazing things for every one of us. So basically, it was about a phrase, agriculture is both a victim and a contributor to climate change. Now, why this isn't part of our topic today, I believe this should be discussed even just a little, because just like you, many are just focusing on the negative effects of climate change on agriculture. So maybe you could enlighten us on how agricultural activities contribute to climate change.
Right. So, when I was writing that post, I was also thinking about the same thing that, we as primarily an agricultural country, and especially we're working in the agri-tech sector, we only focus on the aspect that how agriculture has been affected by climate change, the various, problems that we are facing in agriculture, be it unpredictable rainfall, climatic conditions, consecutively lowering of the fertility of the soil, unwarranted rains, locust attack, everything. But we fail to acknowledge the fact that agriculture is also one of the biggest contributors to the release of greenhouse gases. Now, why it never came into play is because, of course, see, we know that we need agriculture. It sustains us, right? But we also need to make sure that we follow sustainable practices so that in a way, so when we're talking about the fact that agriculture is not only a victim but also a contributor, so there are multiple practices that should come into play, primarily in the agricultural domain, that would increase the productivity, the yield, and, you know, eventually the sustainability of agriculture as a domain.
Thank you. So what do you think are the sustainable practices we can adopt to avoid all of this?
Right. See, first would, of course, be ever since the evolution of, the farming practices, I believe the traditional methods that we were using, maybe 500, maybe 400 years back, so they were more sustainable than what we are doing now. First, of course, is the excessive mechanization, I would say, the excessive tillage of the soil. It actually leads to turning of the soil and release of the carbon that is stored in the soil. First point is that. Second would be excessive use of chemicals that we are doing nowadays, no matter what the problem is. Instead of just, micromanaging the problem, we deal with the problem as a whole instead of zoning the agricultural land, we treat the entire land as a whole, which should not be the case. If there is some sort of pest attack on one particular patch, then instead of all the farmers in that particular village, you know, just spraying that particular pesticide, we should pinpoint the areas and focus on why this problem is arising, instead of just keep using and increasing the dosage of chemicals. Second would of course be this. Third, I would say monocropping is one of the biggest problems. Most of the farmers nowadays in India, I would say, especially in the northern parts, focus on growing crops like, I would say, wheat, maybe rice, sugarcane. But we forget to actually use, you know, follow practices which happened a long time back, which would be intercropping or maybe multiple cropping, row cropping, something like that. Something that would replenish the soil of the nutrients that we devoid it of while cultivating the same crop over and over again. So I think these are some very basic and cultural practices that we could get into play. Then of course, the other aspect of the same coin would be the use of IoT in agriculture. That would of course be one of the ways to, you know, minimize the amount of release of greenhouse gases or other climatic or soil issues that we are creating for ourselves.
Well, I guess this topic is in order anyway, because I think that is one of the reasons why we should really be discussing this IoT in agriculture, because at least now with technology, we can actually focus on the particular place instead of thinking about every area of the land. So we can now focus on a particular spot that we want to work on, instead of checking all the areas and then maybe contributing to climate change as well. So remember that this episode is to guide farmers and to help them learn the benefits of technology in agriculture. So I just want you to do it like in a very simple form. I mean, tell us a little bit about IoT in agriculture. Let's just get like a breakdown of this. So those that are not really familiar with something like this can really understand.
Right. So you know what? It actually makes sense. So I'll be very, very candid and speak in a very layman term. So what exactly is IoT? It's basically connecting various internet-enabled devices that relays information either directly to the system, to our cloud-based system, or directly from device to device. Now, when we say IoT-based smart farming, it's basically a system which is built to monitor the agricultural land with the help of various nodes, various sensors that we install on the farms. Various sensors could be like automated wireless weather stations, soil moisture sensors, remote sensing technology, drone technology, automated irrigation practices. Now, what happens is that once we use all these technologies, right, once we combine all these automated systems, we gather information, we gather data, which when prioritized converts to information. Then we use that information and we try to analyze it, right? After detailed descriptive analysis, we try to make sense of it, and then we prepare an actionable. So agricultural application of IoT, it would not only enable the industry to enhance operations and productivity, but it would also eventually reduce expenses, lessen waste, increase their yield, and of course, lead to a more sustainable agricultural practice in the years to come.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that. You know, we've actually discussed most of this in our previous podcast. So we have talked about robotics in agriculture. We have talked about satellite imagery and more like the importance, the benefits of the satellite imagery when it comes to agriculture. And so now I think we really want to learn about smart agriculture. So maybe you could still tell us a little bit about the smart agriculture and possibly the requirements when it comes to adopting smart agriculture, I mean, using IoT.
Right. So see, what exactly is smart agriculture? That's the first question. And why it is needed? So whenever when I was working at Kisan, whenever I used to visit the farmers, the first question was that we are already doing something like this, right? We have been doing this for a long, long time now, for generations. Our ancestors used to do that. You are not even from this particular village. You don't own any land. You don't do farming. What do you know about it? So the first thing I would say is that we need to raise awareness amongst farmers that what exactly is the need of it. Now, we know after multiple research that with the thriving global population, which is predicted to reach about 9.6 billion by 2050, the agriculture sector must scale to meet the demands despite the environmental challenges that we are facing at the moment. Right. To accommodate all this growing, the exponential increase in our population, the agriculture industry will have to utilize innovative technologies to attain that much needed edge, to use agriculture applications of IoT that would enhance the operational productivity. Now, when we talk about smart farming, the first thing that comes to us is that all the tech that is there. So it doesn't really start there. It comes from the first step, which is the awareness. Because if the farmer is not convinced as to what you're doing, chances are that he or she, they're not going to adopt that particular technology. So the first one would be through awareness. Now, second is the main objective of smart farming is to increase the yield for the farmers and reduce the cost. They are the two main motives that for which the farmers would eventually get into smart farming. Now, smart farming includes multiple technologies that are to be inculcated in the farms. You need to automate the entire irrigation system to conserve water. You need to automate the weather stations so that you can get real-time knowledge about the soil moisture conditions, the air temperature, air pressure, wind direction, what is the lux index. You need to be aware about technologies like satellite imaging, which I'm sure you guys have already discussed, so you know how it works, right? So you need to segregate your land based on zoning. You need to understand the nitrogen index of the soil. You need to understand the NDVI of the plant health. Now, apart from all of this, you also need to understand the technologies like drone or e-spray, which have recently come into play and how they're going to help. So I'll just take these up one by one, and I think this would be a right way to go about it. Sharon?
Okay, thank you for sharing that. So how much of awareness do you think has been happening when it comes to technology? I mean, if you want to rate it, how do you think we've been creating awareness as regards technology and how farmers can really adopt it? Because like you mentioned, if they don't really see a need, they don't really understand these are technologies that are coming into the picture, right, it's difficult for them to adopt that technology. So in your location now, I mean, how well do you think we are creating awareness?
Right. So Sharon, I'll give you a real life example that we did. So we recently did a project with NABARD here in India. So I'll give you the example of the one smart farm that we did in Bijnor. So that Western UP belt, it's primarily a sugarcane belt. So majority of the farmers there grow sugarcane only, even though it is a very water intensive crop. The water level has been decreasing considerably. The soil, if you leave it at its natural form, has lost the particular nutrients that would otherwise be required to grow sugarcane. So a massive amount of agri inputs goes into producing sugarcane. So how we started this entire initiative was that we conducted a kickstart meeting with the farmers in that area. We talked to them about the entire thing. We talked to them about technology and everything. Talked to them about how growing one type of crop and using flooding irrigation as a method is not going to solve your problems, and eventually it's going to decrease the yield. So the first question was that what do you suppose? Second is it going to increase yield? Third, is it going to, improve the quality of the produce in any way? And fourth, of course, what is the market linkage? So what we did was that we actually installed a few IoT tech on their farms. First was the automated wireless weather station that we installed. So our AWWS had 12 sensors, three of which were below the soil. So we had two sensors, two soil moisture sensors, one at the top layer and other a few inches down. So that whenever we irrigate the particular field, we have an idea that, okay, this is how much that irrigation has been done, and we should close the valves, close the pumps, which prevents any sort of leaching and excessive amount of irrigation and saves water. There was also a soil temperature. In addition to that, we also had wind gauge, lux index, air temperature, air pressure, air moisture, wind direction, all these sort of sensors installed in one particular IoT tech. So that way the farmers didn't have to spend a lot of money on acquiring multiple tech. Instead, they could just take one AWWS weather station from us, and that comes equipped with multiple sensors and multiple nodes. In addition to that, there was automated irrigation systems, right? So what the farmers in India in that part usually do is that they open up the stream of water. They either use groundwater or, the one that comes through canal, or maybe use groundwater in a different sense, and all, which leads to excess or over irrigation, as we call it, which is neither good for the soil as it reduces the arability, and it's not even good for the crops. And of course, it's not good for the environment because there's an excessive amount of water that is being wasted. So what the automated irrigation system did was that we had set up water heads and valves in different areas of the fields. And the entire data of how much water is actually needed would come on our platform through the soil moisture sensors that were installed in the soil. So whenever there was an alert that was issued on the system that, this is the moment that the crop needs water, or the water has gone down the soil moisture sensor, then we would switch on the irrigation, we would switch on the pump from our Delhi office. And once we got an alert that the, appropriate amount of water has been given to the crops, then we would switch off that particular panel. So what it did was that the farmer didn't have to worry about switching on and off. He didn't have to worry about irrigation. And at the same time, only the required amount of water was given to the crop, as opposed to the over-irrigation that is usually happening. So that was one of the way it was sustainable in its way. And it actually saved a lot of cost to the farmers. Now we come across the spraying of agri inputs that usually happen in the field. So how it happens is, it either happens through boom spray, which is done through tractors, it's either done through hand. In both the cases, there is almost 50% of the agri inputs that is not actually applied on the targeted area, which is the crops. Hence, it goes either to the soil, maybe nearby water bodies and stuff. So one way to combat this is to use technologies like maybe e-sprayer. It's one of the agri-tech companies here in India working on it, or maybe technology like drone. So what these two technologies do is that they focus more on targeted and precise spray application, which reduces the application of agri inputs to about 25%. So here you're not only saving the agri inputs, the excess amount of nutrients that would otherwise go directly into your soil, the farmers are also saving money on those agri inputs. Right, because if you were to spray on, let us say, 5 acres of land, so instead of X amount, you would maybe be using X minus maybe 5, maybe 6, whatever it is. So I think that is, farmers need to understand that there's no direct cost saving in it. These are hidden cost saves that you need to look at. So this is what we talked to them about. Now, of course, there was remote sensing. So we geofenced the entire area, the entire farm. And after that, it was added to the satellite imagery part through our portal. Once it was done, the entire farm was measured on 5 major parameters, which were the plant health or NDVI monitoring, the nitrogen index, soil moisture index, soil organic carbon, and zoning. So it gave us a pretty clear picture, because we had created a digital twin of the farm directly on our platform. So each and every activity that was happening on the farm was directly available to us. We had complete traceability as to what was happening. In addition to that, the farmers also had complete traceability as to what might happen. So this is exactly how we did our Bijnor project, and the best part about this project was that even though the IoT was installed on one farm only, multiple farmers in the near vicinity, and I would say 2 kilometers, were actually benefited from the same, because the microclimate for about that much area, it remains the same. So even though it was installed in the farm of one farmer, it actually benefited quite a community there.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's a really great example and project. So I think it's really important that these people that are trying to set up technologies, they should have conversations with the farmers. I think having the conversations with the farmers first is a good start before developing technologies that they may not really understand or see as useful at this point. And so it becomes easy when you actually have a discussion with them to really know their pain points. So that way you can set up such technology, because I mean every time there's always something new that is coming up. So many technology agri-tech companies coming up, and then you'll see that sometimes most of the farmers don't know which way to go, and they're not sure if it's going to work out well for them. So I think it's really great that you guys had a conversation with the farmers first to really understand their pain points and how to go about it. So I think that's really amazing, and I commend you guys for doing something as awesome as that. So thank you so much. Thank you so much, Rishia. I really do appreciate you sharing personal experience. Thank you.
Yeah, of course, Sharon. And I believe this is exactly how it should be. And the best part is that multiple agri-tech companies are budding up in India, and they're doing a great job with farmer connectivity. They are directly going to them, you know, instead of as how it used to happen before. So we are directly going to them. We are interacting with them. We're trying to actually create a relationship with them. So the difference between the urban and rural India is diminishing with every passing day, and I think it's one of the best things that could have happened in the agricultural domain.
Yeah, I think it's great. So I commend you guys over there. So it's really great you're doing that. But then again, I was hoping that you could have some sort of resource material that you'd like to share with our audience. I mean, that's something we could just put on our show notes or stuff like that. So maybe you have something.
Right. Okay. So, you know, I do actually have worked on a presentation, which I'll share with you so you can pin it up on your board.
Ah, okay. That would be great then. That would be great. That would be great. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me today. So we have come to the end of today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I really hope you learned from this and see how to apply it as well. So thank you very much, guys. If you want to learn more about what we do, please follow us on all our social media. We are on LinkedIn, we are on Facebook, we are on Instagram. So just check us out. Let's Talk Agriculture remains the name. And I really hope to hear from you guys pretty soon. So if you have any topic you'd like us to discuss, you're also free to send an email to podcast@letstalkagriculture.com without the apostrophe anyway. So thank you so much, guys. I really do love you all, and thank you for sticking with me. Have a nice day, guys. Bye-bye.